Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Shout out to all of you guys again for subscribing and downloading today. You know, I feel like I made it, man. I'm interviewing Jay Farrow about his new project, Resort to Love. Jay is one of the funniest people in the business. Everybody knows him because no one does impersonations better than Jay. But before we get to Jay, I want to talk about something I rarely do on this show, and that's commend the NFL. Particularly commending the NFL regarding their recent announcement of its COVID vaccination policy. In case you missed it last week, the NFL announced this new policy to encourage NFL players to get the COVID vaccine or run the risk of forfeiting games. Listen to this. If an unvaccinated player or staff member is shown to have caused an outbreak that forces a schedule change, the team experiencing the outbreak will be held financially responsible for the other club's expenses. And if the game cannot be rescheduled, which they're not rescheduling many of them, the team experiencing the outbreak will forfeit. That's important because when it comes to playoff seeding, the team will be credited with a loss, while the other team will be credited with a win. If an outbreak occurs among vaccinated individuals and a breakthrough infection, the NFL will try to minimize the competitive and fiscal disruption for both teams. So there's a clear incentive for players to get vaccinated or run the risk of ruining their team's playoff chances. And in the NFL, if you don't play a game, you also don't get a check, introducing very real financial consequences as well. We've already seen some players like Newt, also known as DeAndre Hopkins, contemplate retirement, and a Patriots coach has since resigned. I think that's a little bit far out there, but to each their own. This is about player and staff safety. That's all it's about, y'all. Contracting a highly contagious variant of COVID affects us all, including our young children who can't get vaccinated, the immunocompromised people around us, like my daughter Sadie, and the virus mutates in unvaccinated folks, creating stronger and potentially more potent iterations of the virus in the future. I hope the NFL goes a step further and requires that fans who want to attend the games as well show proof of their vaccination. But for now, let's at least say kudos to the NFL for not letting their teams become Peachtree dishes. Take it a step further and let's not make NFL stadiums super spreader events this fall. And for the players complaining, let it go and get the shot. You risk CTE and take all types of medicines and injections in your body just to play the game. You might as well take an injection that will save someone's life. And that's that on that.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
I got to welcome you to the podcast, man. I am so grateful that Jay Farrow is joining us today. As a kid from the big city of Denmark, South Carolina, where I got three stoplights and a blinking light, it's an honor to have you on, my brother. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, my southern brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
You know what? Go ahead. You know what's crazy, though, man? It's funny. When I tell people I'm from the South, I'm like, yo, I'm from the South. They're like, oh, word? Where you from? Where you from? You from Georgia? Where you from? From Florida? You from North Carolina? Okay, where you from? I said, no, I'm from Virginia. They're like, that's not the South. I said, yes, it is. I said, it is the South.
What part of Virginia are you from? That's the question.
I'm from Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm from the Southern.
You from Upper North Carolina.
Yeah, that counts. Right. Yeah. There you go. Upper North Carolina. Yeah,
you from the South. That counts.
Thank you.
That definitely.
And look, I say this all the time, man, but I say, okay, people, if you don't believe that Virginia, where I'm from, is from the South, let me ask you a question. When the Underground Railroad was running, did it stop when it came to Virginia, or did they keep going? Because they had to go someplace where people would be, you could be free. They were like, well, you got to keep going. I said, it's the South then. I said it.
Because y'all, one thing y'all weren't, were free. So that's a true thing.
You weren't free. Nope.
I start each one of my episodes by having our guests walk through the arc of their career. And you've gone between television, film, and comedy seamlessly, but your career began in stand-up. Talk about how stand-up launched your career and how starting a career in stand-up comedy prepared you for television, comedy, and film.
Well, you know, actually, it's kind of funny, man. A lot of people don't know this. Even before I did stand-up, what got me so comfortable with that was being in theater. I was a theater kid, and I started out doing that when I was 8 years old. So, you know, 15, I got into comedy. 15, 16, got into comedy, man. And, you know, being young and being hungry and having stage presence, that really set me apart. And, of course, me doing the impressions, because it wasn't anybody my age doing it like that.
How do you get started in comedy? Were you just a badass kid? I mean, what? how do you get started in comedy at 16, 17 years old?
Well, you know, like I said, man, I don't know. I went to private school when I was 15, right? Mm-hmm. When I was picked on and all that different type of stuff, bullied, whatever. And so I wanted to do something different for a year. So I went to private school, man. And at 15, the kids there were trying to mess with me. I said, oh, no. I said, you prep some of my bitches ain't gonna mess with me up here. I said, no. It's a whole new tune. So I got confidence and I would joke that I would cook them and the stuff that
you were jiving. Y'all were jiving. That's what we call it. You were jiving.
We were jiving. Hey, what do they call it? We call playing the dozens. That's how the old
playing the dozens. That's what the old folk. Yeah. Your mama's so big, she jumped in the sky and got stuck. Yeah, I got all of those.
Hey, your mama belt size is equator. You know what I mean?
That's so,
yeah. Her blood type is I can't believe it is butter. You know what I mean? I got popular. I got popular at a private school, man. And I had my little group or whatever. And I started doing stand up. I left, went back to public school the next year. And yo, I was on stage and Virginia House of Comedy. I remember that. It was a competition called the Virginia Idol Talent Search. And my dad put me in it. And it was like 300 people in it, I believe. And out of those 300 people, I got fourth place out of there. So that was pretty
good. That's not bad right there. That's good right there.
It was fifth place. It was four singers ahead of me. Four singers. I don't care what you do, man. You can tell you can do an impression. You can do a joke. You can make people laugh. But if you got somebody doing runs and you can't do a run, you're not going to win, because you can't win like that. I struggle with this in my everyday. This is real talk. Like, my sister is a hell of a singer. She's amazing. And, you know, sometimes you just, when the song come on the radio, you you ain't for real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you sitting there playing, you know, Adele come on or something. Hello, it's me. Yeah. I was wondering exactly all the years you like this. Then my sister come in. I'm like, that's not even in the song.
Oh, man, you sound good. I mean, shoot, that's one of LeBron agents about to come try to date you with that one right there. You sound real good with that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No. What is it about? LeBron has a, what is it? He's got a,
you know, yeah, you know, his agent dates Adele now. Did you miss that whole thing?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I can't be dropping current events jokes and you didn't even pick up on it. Yeah, Adele's new boyfriend is not Maverick, but hold on. You got me right now.
Okay. I saw
Rich Paul.
There you go. Thank you. From Rich Paul is Adele's new boyfriend.
Oh, okay. And this is a black brother. This is a black gentleman, right?
This is a black brother. This is LeBron's best friend from a long time ago. So She has a whole new swag. She was at the. She was at the match. She was at the match last. The last match between the Suns and the Bucks.
Bukari.
So
she would never. She would have never done that. She would have never done that any other way. She wasn't going in the building. She's been blessed. She's been black. She's been black. It's a different tune go. Right there.
There you go. She's gonna come out singing a new song with Anthony Hamilton. It's gonna be. It's gonna be good.
Erykah Badu, Anthony Hamilton, Jill Scott. Just checking that. It's going to be fire.
There you go. How much stand-up do you still do? And do you prefer stand-up over acting? Or are you going to go back on tour? What, tell me about it.
I go back on tour next month, matter of fact, August, the end of August. But I haven't really stopped working. I really haven't since the pandemic. And as far as stand-up goes, I started back in September. And I remember it was at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, man, you know, because they took it was called the Asphalt Comedy Show. Mm-hmm. They took it and they turned the parking lot into a stage and everything. So it was like drive-in comedy. So I got up there, man. And I was so nervous getting on stage. I'm always nervous. I remember Charlie Murphy said something to me. I'll never forget this, besides the other jewels that he has dropped. But he said, yo, man, he said, look, if you go on stage and you ain't nervous, you ain't shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you care, son. That shows that you care about your artistry, man. So be scared. Every time I get up there, man, I feel like I'm about to shit myself, man. You know why? Because I care, nigga. Yeah. But okay, so I was so nervous getting
people can't see your eyes just piercing out like those Murphy boys for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know that piercing laugh he has. But I was so nervous when I got up there, but it went great. It went so good. The manager's girlfriend came down from the top of the castle. She heard the reaction was so dope because I got a chance to sit down. You know, during the pandemic, if you didn't evolve as an artist, if you didn't evolve as a person, if you didn't just evolve in the space, find new ways, new things you like about yourself, hidden gems and talents, you really wasted a year. Like the world, you know, you really wasted a year. But
you know, I always say about the pandemic, you know, we always would say that if we had the time to do something, we would do it. Like if we had the time, we do. And then God was like, all right. So he gave us nothing but time.
This
right?
what God did. This is what God did. God went like this. Really? Really? Okay. Let's see what happens. And he slid off like this.
Gave us nothing but time. That's right.
Yeah, man. So I was gutting out my jokes and really, really getting into it and writing a lot. And I got back on that stage, man. And it definitely showed that the work I had not, it didn't feel like I took any time off, man. I was right back into it. And I've been consistently doing it since September. And, you know, out here we got a Supernova Comedy at the Whitley. We got Matt Rife does like a back. I think it's like it's the back of a truck comedy show, something like that. He does that. I mean, the Laugh Factory is open.
Okay, everybody. Yeah, everybody know Laugh Factory.
Improv. So Comedy Store's back open, man. And there's mad room. So yeah, stand up is definitely thriving and back. And as long as I get a chance to entertain, bro, I'm just an entertainer, man. Like I love to entertain, whether it's stand up, whether it's being on television, making somebody laugh, making somebody cry, you know, so whatever. You know what I mean? I do that. Hey, in this new movie, I'm telling you, your boy get the water word. See, a lot of people underestimate those skills, but you got to understand.
Well, let's talk about your newest project, Resort to Love. It's hilarious, and I encourage everyone to check it out. But tell me, what is it about? Tell folk what's it about.
Okay, so it's about, can I pull this light up, man? I feel like we're two chocolate This feels like...
Well, I thought that I was going for that. I interviewed Omar Epps recently, so I was going for the Omar Tay Diggs look with the lighting the way I had it.
Okay. If we doing that, you know, well, shoot, New Jack City. How about that?
Juice, we going back there. We going back to Juice. There you go.
Juice, though? Juice. It was Tupac was brown, Omar was dark, and other boy was light-skinned.
Oh, that's right.
He was dark skinned too. So I guess I'm the fat kid.
There you go. You can be him. What's the movie about though? Tell the folk.
So the movie is about Christina Milian, lovely Christina Milian, amazing, phenomenal. Shout out to the DMV. Found out about that. Found out she's from the DMV. She's a singer who's about to be. She's on the cusp of her big break, and her fiance breaks up. The wedding, probably like a month before they're supposed to walk down the aisle. And so he moves down and he moves down to South Carolina. She's still in New York and she's about to have her big break. And the night that she's supposed to have her big break, the producer ends up taking the project that she worked on and crushing it, like on the laptop. He crushes it. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Her friend sets her up on a resort. She was like, look, you know, they're looking for a singer there. You know, you could get some money, you know, since, you know, you could start fresh, you know, do that. So she goes to the island and she finds out at the island that they want her to sing at weddings as well. And she was like, and you know, that's already a big blow to her because, you know, her fiance left her. And she ends up almost drowning and getting saved by the Caleb character. Superman, you see, taking up the Cinqua walls, taking her out of the water, rising, looking like
you know, I tried out for that role. Did I got to do some more push-ups. No, I do some more push-ups. I want the water glistening all over my body. Yeah, I know.
There was a lot of baby oil involved. I know there was a lot of. If he would, it's so funny because he was so oiled up. I'm like, if he would swim. He would just go through the water like this because, like,
water just beating up. They're just beating up on it.
It would look like one of those lava lamps. Remember the lava lamps? Like,
oh, yeah.
He'd be swimming. Okay, so she's on this island. She finds him, and he's there for his brother's wedding. His brother is getting married there, right? And she finds out that it was her ex fiance who's about to get married to somebody else on the island. And her ex fiance is me.
Oh.
And then she's supposed to sing at the wedding. And then she sees them together. She gets jealous. And then the brother's like, "What? Wait, why are you jealous? Do you still got feelings for him? And you don't know if my character still has feelings for her." So it's like this triangle that's going on. Actually, it's a love square going on right there. It's the brother. It's two brothers, the fiance and Christina Milian. And you're just trying to figure out which way she's going to go. And I know. She's gonna talk to the brother and she was just engaged to this person. I understand that. Watch the movie, okay?
Okay, I'm gonna watch it. If my wife looking at me all sideways throughout this movie, then I'm blaming you. I want you to know I'm blaming you.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Whether you're making a delicious family meal or a post-workout snack, choose the farm fresh taste of Eggland's Best eggs. Only Eggland's Best hens are fed their proprietary all vegetarian feed. That's what makes their eggs more nutritious. With 10 times more vitamin E, 25% less saturated fat, and 6 times more vitamin D compared to ordinary eggs. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com to learn more.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
What about this role jumped out at you? And this is your first film in a leading role. How does it feel to be a feature of a film like this?
Well, listen, Bakari, let me say this. It's not the first one. It's not the first one where I'm leading. It's not. 2 Minutes of Fame was the first movie I was leading. That was
2 Minutes of Fame.
With Cat Williams. Right. Yeah, we did that. But this is the first time I'm doing a romantic lead, you know? And the way that the material spoke to me, I read the script. And I've been in these uncomfortable situations, not necessarily engaged, but I've had these uncomfortable conversations with a lot of people, with ladies that I care about. So I just found myself in the Jason character because he's indecisive, which I'm indecisive. I'm a Libra, bro. So I'm indecisive. So it's like, okay, am I going to go here? Am I going to go here? Scattered brain all over the place. Thank God for mothers, sisters, and fathers talking. Okay. Because they keep you in alignment, but the character is so he's in and then he's yes. And he's no, he's hot and he's cold. And I was like, you know what? I know that guy because I've been that person before. I know exactly the uncomfortability of these situations. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, some of them are amicable and other times it ends up being a terrible situation. But as long as if you have closure with somebody, it's easier to swallow the situation if you have the closure. And there were so many times where I felt like the closure I didn't have with people. And then later on I had it. And Jason is just like that. So it just popped off the paper. It said, okay, this is a version of Jay Farrow. And I know this guy. So let's do it. And then Christina Milian too. You know, I had a crush, Bakari, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was mad when the dream, you dreamed it. You know what I'm saying? I was mad.
Tell me about this. I mean, that's such a dope cast and amazing people you're working with. And one of the people when I was preparing for the day that I did not know was producing and not behind a piano was Alicia Keys. Talk about just everybody who's a part of this film, making it one of the hottest movies to come out this summer.
Well, listen, man, Alicia Keys is amazing. She did. It's so funny, man. I wish she would have came to the island. She could have got a free vacation, but she wasn't there. She was there. It was just
Swiss was like, you don't need to go down there. You don't need to go down there.
So you had Steven Tucida, the director. He's amazing. Christina Milian's dope. Cinqua Walls from American Soul. Friday Night Lights. And Power. He was amazing. He auditioned. We all auditioned on Zoom, you know, because we couldn't go. We couldn't go inside. Into offices at the time. So you really had to nail the character. If you nailed it, you nailed it. And it came through the Zoom. You had to come through the Zoom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? All I want to do was a boom, 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 and a Zoom,
that's
boom.
That's crazy, man. You literally auditioned for this movie via Zoom. How do you even prepare for that?
You just, like I'm saying, brother, you live in the moment. You live in it. And you take situations that have already happened to you, and you paint them, you make them so real. And that's all it was. It was just being familiar and being able to go there, brother. And, you know, they were supposed to start filming earlier in 2020 and they had to stop. Yeah. And then they moved it to about October. Yeah. They moved it to October and we shot the whole movie October and November out there at this beautiful, beautiful resort in Mauritius. Where the people are nice and the mosquitoes are
state rampant. Birds. how can listeners find Resort to Love? Tell them how they can find it and when they can find it.
July 29th on Netflix. They can check it out, man. It's the first movie I have that's hit in 192 countries.
Man, listen, y'all. Anybody who's listening, we gotta support Jay Pharoah in this role. Yeah. I just think it's a cultural moment, man, that we lift this brother up and go out here and show that he can sell movies. I was watching an interview with Will Smith.
Yeah.
When he was being cast for Independence Day, and there was a question about whether or not he could play that role because black folk didn't sell internationally. And yeah, he was talking about how he wanted to break down those walls. And so I feel like this is our opportunity to help you break down those walls and help you be an international superstar. With that, I mean, now because people are going to be talking about Denzel Washington or Jay Pharoah, who they want to play what role.
You get me, you get a 2-for-1.
Yeah, there you go.
I definitely have a little bit of there's some Denzel isms. Maybe look, okay. There's some slight. No, you know what? No, I'm not even gonna say that. It's all
I'm gonna watch it. We're gonna choose it and see. But you got your own producing and writing credits under your belt as well. Do you anticipate doing more behind the camera this comes out in terms of producing and writing and directing? And how difficult is it to transition from one side of the camera to another? Or was that a natural transition for you?
I mean, look, it's just all about like, okay, you've been around it when you're around something for so long and you're not constantly on your phone or Instagram, social media, whatever, and you're paying attention, watching, you pick stuff up. I ask questions, man, you know? So I want to kick my production company off, man. I want to get that started. You know, being a producer on shows is cool, but like you're saying, being a producer and owning something and have that money coming back to you, like really coming back to you. That's the goal. And I see a lot of my friends, a lot of my comrades in entertainment do have production companies. You got Little Rail has one. Of course, Kevin Hart has one. Nate Parker has one. I've been talking. I've got to get on it, man. We've been talking. He's from my area and we've been talking back and forth for years and I've been going to his events and definitely cool. But, you know, he was trying to help me start my production company. So I'm going to get back on that and I'm going to take care of that.
That's building wealth. That's how we build wealth in our own communities.
Yep.
You know, I got to ask a question that I'm sure you probably get all the time. But
I'm not Michael Chair.
Michael, you do know. Who is on your stand-up comedy Mount Rushmore?
Oh, come on, brother.
And who are your four people who are on your Mount Rushmore comedy?
Only four? Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they're four. They literally are four white men carved into the mountain. We can't go put Barack up there.
Okay, all right. Okay. Since I can't, I would say Eddie Murphy.
Of course.
Come on. I would say Chris Rock. I would say Bernie Mac and Robin Harris. But I would have to put, I still got to put Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is a big ass eagle flying by, swooping on top of it. And then Richard Pryor is just the cloud on top of the mountain, just the cloud that sits up here. So all of those people together, man, I would say that really forms Jay Pharoah. And that's, I really love those gentlemen. And a shout out to, if I could give a top 10, I would say Cat Williams is in there. I would say Jim Carrey.
Cat Williams is so, you want to know how I know Cat Williams is a genius? Because a lot of the things he says in his stand-up 4 or 5 years ago, we going back to right now, like, he crazy, but he was right.
Yep.
I mean,
geniuses can predict the future, man.
So one of the last questions I have before I let you go, and we'll talk about some of the things you have in the future is, you know, a favorite topic of mine when I talk to comedians is this notion of cancel culture and political correctness. Right. And if this idea of being, quote, politically correct makes stand-up comedy particularly harder than it should be, you know, what's your take on this idea that comedians have to walk on eggshells now in ways that they didn't have to for fear of being canceled? I mean, I think it's absurd. But I also think that, you know, you're telling a level of truth in the comedy you do. So what's your thoughts on that?
I feel like the truth is needed. And I feel like cancel culture is in a lot of ways gratuitous, especially how can you take a culture serious that's canceling things that aren't real? You're canceling cartoon, Pepe Le Pew and Prince Charming. When you sit like, come on, dog. When there's black folks to get killed every day, you got Breonna Taylor's killers still haven't been brought to justice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think as a comedian, we have to look past that and we have to We have to remember what got us to where we are now. And we got to continue to do that because that's the purest form of comedy, being yourself. If it's funny, say it. Now, of course, you have to come from both sides and have an educated point that makes sense to both sides. But attack it like that and say what you have to say and let people allow people who don't agree with you see how you think and why you would think that. Mm. You understand? You get what I'm saying?
That's powerful. Yeah. I mean, I think that we have to begin to allow some people a modicum of freedom. Now, you got the choice. I mean, I'm not saying that you should be free of consequences. I mean, you say some dumb shit, there are consequences to saying dumb shit, but we shouldn't be canceling folk for what they believe. You got at least two projects in the works, Spinning Gold and the Adventures of Drunkie. Can you even talk about those? And what's next for you?
Well, I just finished the movie Spinning Gold in New Jersey. Finally, man, we started shooting that movie in 2019 and then it got shut down and we just finished it this year. So in that movie, it's the Casablanca Records, Buddha Records biopic, where you'll follow the story of Neil Bogart. And I'm Cecil Holmes. I'm the right hand man. Buck Rheingold, God dang it, my God. There's so many good actors in it, man, but it's a biopic. And I would say in that movie, I got my Denzel on a little bit. I'm just saying, I studied him. I added some of his swag to the character because there was no video footage for that character, for Cecil Holmes. There's no audio, there's no video. So it's not like I could study anything. Only thing I had was stories and how he was. And so they told me that he was the right-hand man. He was always there to make sure that Neil was centered. He would always center the situation. So I played it like that. Adventures of Drunkie, I don't know when that movie's coming out. That's honest to God. I just shot a movie with Gore Verbinski, Anderson .Paak, her, Ice Cube, and Meryl Streep. It's this animated movie that we're doing. And I wanted the stars in that. And I don't know if I can give the title away for that because it's, you know, animations are going to take a couple of years to come out or whatever. But it's a dope project and it involves a lot of cats. That's what I'm going to tell you. Okay.
All right. I feel you.
And you know, in April, I shot a movie with Ashley Benson. So I shot a movie with
Ashley. Man, are you never not working? I mean,
here's the thing, man.
Your agent is like, yeah, he good. You want him Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He booked Monday through Thursday.
Listen, man. Working for Family Guy now too, and also Nickelodeon. I got a show at Nickelodeon.
Those Family Guy checks. I was Googling them one day. Them things, they could pay my student loans. But go ahead.
Look, it baffles me when people. And it's not a lot. It's not a lot of people, but it's always a few dumbasses that will hit me up on social media and be like, what you doing now? I don't even see you. Damn, where you been? I'm like, where have you been? I dropped 4 movies last year. What the hell were you doing? What were you looking at? Oh, you just saw the footage with the cops, huh? Okay. All right. Yeah. Sorry. That's all I did last year was get wrongfully detained. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even bring that up in the conversation.
We ain't got to. I'm just giving perspective that through all of that bad stuff that happened,
you were still working.
You were still working by the grace of God.
Because it could have turned out worse. I was like, man, I knew what happened. I was like, man, don't flinch.
When there's 4 guns pulled out on you, Bakari, in any situation, you know, the gangsterness just leaves.
It just leaves. You'd be like, man, I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't know what I did, but we can work it out.
we can work. Man, Jay Farrell, thank you for coming to the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Everybody, July 29th, go see Resort to Love on Netflix. And man, I am so proud of you, man. You are an international movie star. Like I said, it is Denzel, Will Smith, Michael B. Jordan, and Jay Farrell, and they all got to be in the same category, man. Thank you, my brother, for coming on, man.
Thank you so much, man. I'm trying to get some awards back from the Brits. You know, they're taking all of them. They're coming over.
They take it. They said they need y'all need some acting classes over here. That's what they said. That's what they said.
Hey, baby, I'm finna turn up. Shout out to Daniel Kaluuya, though. That's my boy. Shout out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Have a good one, man. Be easy.
Thank you, brother.
Before I let you go, shout out to Jay Farrell. That interview was so dope, so funny. I couldn't contain myself. I thought I was a comedian sometimes, as you could tell. I wanted to talk about the recent article I came across in the New York Times regarding what the Biden administration is telling voting rights groups. To quote the article, in private calls with voting rights groups and civil rights leaders, the White House officials and close allies of the president have expressed confidence that it is possible to out-organize voter suppression. End quote. Now, this is all happening as President Biden gives great speeches about voting rights, but doesn't actually push, even privately, for real changes to the filibuster, like a carve-out, for example, for matters involving fundamental constitutional rights like voting rights. And this begs the question, why would Biden not fight for these changes to the filibuster, knowing that Democratic majorities hang in the balance next year and his own electoral fortunes hang in the balance in 2024? The answer is Biden and Democrats don't think they need to actually deliver on these justice issues like voting rights or police reform to win in 22 or 24. The calculus here is that moderate voters, who they believe hold the keys to swing districts in statewide elections, don't care about these issues, and the base will come out anyway. So speeches are enough because you can just blame Republicans. But the real problem are Senate Democratic moderates who won't touch the filibuster and a White House who won't push them on it. And when it comes to 2024, the Biden camp has to believe that they'll be popular enough to weather any criticism because they will have passed key parts of an agenda and he could be running against Trump again, which should further booster his confidence in re-election. As I've said many times, justice was on the ballot in 2020, and Black voters and younger voters haven't seen progress on these issues. They've seen rhetoric, but no real progress. One could argue that you don't lose said moderates if voting rights and police reform are granted, and they need not be viewed as mutually exclusive to infrastructure and shots and checks. We wanted it all and voted on it all, but it's clear that Biden and the Biden White House think our issues aren't essential for 2022 and 2024. That's a real problem that I hope my friends in the administration fix. Otherwise, the coalition that gave us governing majorities in 2020 will rightly decide that their vote didn't move the needle on what mattered to them, and they'll stay home. That's that on that. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Everybody have a great work week.